I feel nostalgic a little bit today. I always think of Father's Day. I always think of my dad. I think of great men in my life that have really made an impact on me. And there's been a lot that have chosen to do things that would make a difference in somebody's life that really needed it in the day that they did it. They saw strugglers like me, and they thought it was important to fill in that gap. And I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. I wasn't quite like Terrence. I didn't call my dad up and say, thank you for beating on me. That never happened hardly. Now my mom, now that's a different story. I'll save that for Mother's Day. Not this one back here. She never whopped on me. It was just my other mom did when I was young. So, and I never deserved any of it. Yeah, right. Right. Okay. I want to do something that I don't ever do. I know that's a shock to you, but I want to read you a poem this morning. You know, I don't do that. I mean, that's not something that there wasn't 3 points in a poem ever. But there's something that when I think about some of you men today, and this is Father's Day, and I'm going to point out men today in the most blessed way that I can, okay? I want to do this. I had prepared something, but this is what God really wanted me to talk about today. The poem is entitled, Just Like His Dad. Well, what are you going to be, my boy, when you have reached manhood's years? A doctor, a lawyer, an actor great, moving the throngs to laughter and tears? But he shook his head and he gave reply in a serious way he had. I don't think I'd care to be any of them. I want to be like my dad. He wants to be like his dad, you men. Did you ever think as you pause that a boy who watches your every move is building a set of laws? He's molding a life you're the model for. And whether it is good or bad depends on the kind of example set to the boy who'd be like his dad. Would you have him go everywhere you go? Have him to do just the things you do? See everything that your eyes behold and woo all the gods you woo? When you see the worship that shines in the eyes of your lovable little lad, could you rest content if he gets his wish and grows to be like his dad? It's a job that none but yourselves can fill. It's a change you must answer for. It's a duty to show him the road to tread ere he reaches his manhood's door. It's a debt you owe for the greatest joy on this old earth to be had. This pleasure of having a boy to raise who wants to be like his dad. Isn't that a beautiful poem? It really is. I tell you, it's a... And I thought of it, and I've got to give credit to Kevin in that regard, because I was thinking about a statement that he made at Chance's graduation party that we had a few weeks ago, and that's where it came from, Kevin. So I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty. If you were not there, just the statement, how proud he was of his son. And so there it is, right there. That part of it's right there. You know, there are things that I love to do. I love to do things like sayings, you know, from great people like Yogi Berra. Not Yogi the Bear, Yogi Berra, the catcher that played for the Yankees, you know. He always had those great statements, it ain't over till it's over. Never mind, you'd never catch all the stuff like that. But I had some things that I thought about this morning, and I wrote a lot of them down because I think that they really are applicable to today. They're applicable to men, especially dads, because they are what is required of us. Now, the first one is simply this: the secret. Now, I want you to pay attention to this, guys. Is to get wise before you get old. I haven't figured that one out yet, so anyway. So I borrowed from a few people this morning, and I'll share from those of you. Do you know that you are unique, dads? And this is really true. No one else in history has your unique history. Not one of us out there. No one else in God's great design has your divine design. No one else shares your blend of personality, ability, ancestry. God made you, and the angel stood in awe. Isn't that great? Think about it for a minute, gentlemen. In awe. We've never seen one like him before. Now, if that applies to you, gentlemen, put it down right there. This is heaven's first and final attempt at you. I like that one. I thought that was a really good one right there. You're matchless. You're unprecedented. You're unequaled. Guys, did you ever hear that before? Your kids ever say it to you? Did your wife ever say that to you? I didn't think so. Okay. No one can do the things that you do the way you do them. Others, now they have your skill sets. Some can tell stories, some can fly planes, but none of them are you. You are the person with your particular skills, and you're the only one that does it the way you do it. And I think that's perfect. You call it what you wish, a talent, a skill set, a gift, an anointing, a divine spark. Well, that tells me a lot about some of you guys out there today. A divine spark right there. Glad you didn't burn the building down. An unction, a calling. And of course, from the scriptures, from 1 Corinthians, a spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. Each of us. Now write that down, dads. Each of us. Not some of us, not a few of us, not the elite of us, but every one of us. Guys, Steve, you're an oak. Yes, you are. You're an oak within an acorn, Steve. Pressing on the walls, ready to burst out. Lord, have mercy on us all. This is your ability. This is your destiny. These are the place you find your skills on one hand, and you meet at God's intersection, and it's so great and it's wonderful. It's the promised land. You're in Canaan. I'm in Hawaii. Okay. But never stop short of your destiny. And that's great advice to young men, young fathers, those that one day will be fathers. Never settle for somebody else's dream. Don't do it, because it's certainly not worth it. Because one day, by God's grace, you'll get to cross the finish line. And I hope your hands are raised nice and high, and you can shout that I was made to do this. Now, sometimes it takes a little while for us to figure that out. Sometimes it takes years to find out, what does God want me to do? What did he make for me to do? And then he reveals it. And I know for some of you, there, you sit there and you go, well, I never thought he'd be that. I never thought he would do anything. That's why you're not God. Because that's the way God thinks. I've got something for each one. And one of the most precious one of all those things is the privilege of being a dad. It doesn't happen to everybody. It doesn't happen to every man. And just because you're a man doesn't make you a dad. And some that are may be called dad or may have children somewhere in the world today, maybe they're not a real dad. And that part is the sad part about all those things. You see, because as another old saying would say, excellence is never an accident. Sometimes children can be. But if you're a dad, you will find out what excellence really is. You'll find out what God wanted you to do and how he wants to make it happen. And you can see it in every child. And they're all different, every one. They're all unique. They are those that God has given to you. Some of them you adopted. Some of them you had. I was the dad that had three instantly. I don't know how it is. Lily can get saved three times in the same camp. Told her she made a good Methodist right there. You'll figure that out one day. Never mind. But I can tell you this. Being a dad is a privilege that God allows to take place. And sometimes we get them at times we weren't expecting to get them. But they came and God trusted them with us. So treasure every bit of that. Treasure all the things that God has done because there's a bunch of them. A bunch of them that I feel like are so worthy of that. So men, today I have a few things for you. And not a lot. I mean, I'd really like to make it. I know there are others that are out and doing things that they felt was necessary this morning. And I hope they're being blessed of God and they're doing the things that God wants them to do today. But I have these things for you. You know, when I was a kid, we grew up and we had ideals. We had things. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? And, of course, back in that day, you know, there were the firemen. There were the policemen. There were all these things that when I was a kid, those things were important. Some of us wanted to be the Lone Ranger. Go figure. Go get you one of those white horses that can stand up on its hind legs and scare you to death. Other one, and somebody else might have wanted to be Tonto. You know, I don't know what they wanted to be. Of course, that was long before we had all of those comic book heroes that came. Of course, we had comic books. Yeah, we had comic books back in that day. Superman. But how many times can you play Superman? Well, you can ask all the guys that have played Superman. You know, it's a playtime. But we have those ideals. Those are things that you wanted to be. I don't know what you wanted to be as a kid. I mean, you grew up and said, are you getting to be something like that? I don't think I have any Aquaman here today. I have some that probably would drown, but I don't think Aquaman. But there's something that every one of us can be as a dad. The first thing is committed. In a world of uncommitted. In a world that says I can produce a child, but I can't raise a child. I can have one in the world, but I just really don't. I don't do the things that God called me to do to provide. That's the first thing. To protect. Oh, I think that's so important. And probably the most important one to me is to point that child or that family to God. Those are things that every one of us can do. And I picked a passage of Scripture this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's a privilege, people. That is part of what we are given as parents, or especially as dads, to point our children to Christ, to direct them that way. And I think that's part of being a committed man, to be a committed dad. We have the mind of Christ. We're not perfect, anything but perfect. We're none of those things. But as we grow, as we mature, as we strive, we find out, yeah, we messed up. Yeah, man, I think about it all the time, what I did as a young man. But searching the Scriptures, trying to find the knowledge and the wisdom that God provides, I think that's everything God expected. I think that's all that God wanted. Because being committed to God makes you a balanced father. It makes you someone that your kids can rise up and say, even to you as they say to their mom, rise up and call them blessed. I think that's exactly what kids can do for their dads right there. So you're a committed man. You're not only a committed man, but you're a man of convictions. I certainly have convictions, and I stand on them. I believe in them. I'm not backing up from them. I've kept them all these years, even from the time over 50 years since I was saved. Have they been modified at times? Yeah, they've been modified at times with knowledge, realizing that I didn't know everything, even though I thought I knew everything. Everything that was going to be important. But I believed in standing firm on every one of those convictions. But as I've grown, I realized too that that they only come to pass in the way that you're going to keep them when you experience great spiritual conviction about certain, and they're not something you back on. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to be those kind of men. You know, I can't help what our woke generation throws out today. I can't help with the junk that I have to listen to. I don't go with that because I don't think they've ever met the one that said those things yesterday, today, forever. I change not. And that's what God has required of each one of us. Does that mean you quit learning, that you quit? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that one day you'll get the fullness of everything God has been wanting to teach you. Paul said, I'm going to keep pressing. I'll press to the mark. Well, I haven't got there yet. And if Paul hadn't gotten there, Lord have mercy on me. I'm not going to get there either. But I need to be that man. And I think every father needs to be a man of convictions. They need to be a man of courage. In a world today, oh, and here comes another one too that I had to get. We need God's nature. We don't need man's nature. We got plenty of that. Here's another statement for you. Fathers are pals nowadays because they don't have enough guts to be fathers. Let that settle in for a minute. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's my only negative one I'll give you, men, today. But it's one that I think that you have proven out that God was right. And we do have what it takes, that, excuse me, dear, the intestinal fortitude. I want to qualify that before I get home today. But only by being born again as a man of God will we ever experience those kind of... That's what commitment is. Commitment to Christ first. And once you get commitment to Him, you get the wisdom, you get the knowledge, you get the things that God says that are important. They're not things that all of a sudden just bam and hits you between the ears. Because like I said about excellency never is an accident. It comes by spending the time that God wants. That's what vital assets are. That's what courage brings us. I like what Andrew Carnegie said. He said, to be popular is easy. To be right when right is unpopular is noble. I hope that every one of you dads, grandparents, granddads, can find that to be so true in your own personal lives. Because God's got something for us. And where we're going, it has to be His direction. It cannot be ours any longer. I know that many of us have directed our own lives. We've tried to do this or do that. But I never could stand in the presence of God without knowing I am doing what He called me to do. So I have to be a man of courage. I have to be a man of character. Something that is woefully missing today is character. If you were to sell all your character, here's another statement. If you were to sell all your character, would you get full retail? Anybody knows anything about buying cars? Where's Jeff Eaton when I need him? Or would you go for a bargain-based price? Would someone see your character and pay the full worth of it? Is that what kind of character that you have? It's called integrity. It's called trustworthiness. It's called the things that when you make a statement, when you say you're going to do it, you do it. Yeah, you just do it. What happens if it costs you more? Okay, it cost me more. What happens if you lose money on it? Okay, I lost money on it. But I gave my word, and it's something that I do. It's something that God has called me to do. You know what I think also comes with integrity? I think it comes right out of Genesis chapter 1, when God said how He made Adam. You know, that's what He said. He made a man and a woman. And you get into chapter 2 when He actually formed Adam out of the ground. There was a definite male, female. And it's not the rest of the junk that I have to listen to today. because God is the same. He said it in Genesis. He made it for the world. He gave every bit of it. And he said, I'm not going to back up on it. This is what masculinity is. This is what it, that's why he made a distinction. Gentlemen, act like a man. That speaks to me about character. We need to be men that are constructive. How many times have I been destructive? I've been that way many times. How many times I did not build you up, but shot you down? And ask my kids that. But you can't always be tearing down. You have to be a builder. You have to construct something in their life. Dad, what is your attitude today? How do your kids see you? Or do you even spend any time to know what your kids are thinking? Have you ever thought about spending the time to say, how are you when you get up in the morning? Boy, it's awfully quiet. How about when you come home from a 12-hour day? So I don't work 12-hour days. Well, then you ought to be better off. You ought to be more happy when you get in. But maybe you're not that. How are you in a crisis? You see, I think that has everything to do with how constructive you are as a dad. Well, as a husband, are you hard-headed? What would be worse than being a hard-headed would be hard-hearted. That would be far worse. Are you hard-nosed? Are you self-willed? Are you the kind of man that everything has to be your way or the highway? If you stand on God's principles, I can understand that. Are you as cold as granite? Or do you have that kind of a personality that says, I can be that man of steel? Proverbs says in the 22nd chapter, verse number 6, we are very well acquainted with, train up a child in the way they will go. And when they're old, they will not depart. It doesn't say they're not going to go out and have every kind of passion and done everything else. God, I know I did. But I know this, later, they'll never escape the principles that God gave a dad if that dad is honest before the Lord. You realize that all kids are different? I got 5 of them. They're all different. I mean all different. They have God-given temperaments, and hopefully they're more like their mother. Not like me. So be a man that is constructive. Be a man that is as confident. I'm not saying cocky. You know, we got plenty of cockiness going around today, and usually those are the greatest fools. But confident. Confident in God. Confident in what God has given us. Confident in what God has laid upon us. I recognize who the real Father is. He's called the Heavenly Father. He's called God the Father. He is the sovereign of the world. He is everything. He's my provider. He's my protector. He's my guide. He's my perfect example in which to follow. And how do I know that? I look at the Son, and I know how the Son spoke to the Father. And he gave him honor in all things and obeyed him perfectly. There's nothing wrong with being self-confident as long as that self-confidence comes out of relationship with Christ. If you have that, you got everything. Because that means that you're under the control of him. You see the needs. God's calling. Help. What does God ask us to do? He called us to be that person that steps in to be the answer in some requests. Now, I have one other one for you right there. A father is a banker provided by nature. It's true. You see, I write down all the quality things, people. I don't write down the little things like that. But you also have to be a man that's controlled. And I'm not saying that you're controlled by somebody that knows how to control you. I think every girl that grows up learns how to control their husbands. Hey, it's Father's Day. I can say what I want on Father's Day. I've been good to you on Mother's Day. I'm going to say what I want to say on Father's Day. It's a pivotal point of our lives. But it's called obedience to Christ. Obedience to what God has. Yielding our lives to Him as a living sacrifice. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. And it's the service God requires of us. You see, these things, these seven small things, speak to what God wants a man to be. Now, that's a man that is a man of steel. Now, here's the second half. God wants us not to be just men of steel, but men of velvet also. You say, velvet? What would you want to be that? Because there has to be another side to a man. A man that is a man of steel, well, that's just the easy part. The hard part is to be pliable enough, soft enough, of quality enough that you're fit to live with. Because I know plenty of them that are men of steel, they're not worth it. Oh, they're tough. They have all their way they're going to do it. But you can find out real quick. Somebody, can they live with that? No, they cannot. And they shouldn't. They shouldn't have to put up with it. Women, you shouldn't have to put up with that kind of nonsense. You ought to have somebody that has a beautiful blend of both those things, because that's the responsibility God called us to do. That's the responsibility He says is reasonable, and He's made it very safe. You have to have those things. So you have to have a man that cares. Do you care, men? I mean, look, are you batting 1,000 so far? I hope you are. I hope you're still in the game at least. How about that? It's not about provision, even though God called me to provide. It's not about big houses, lots of cars, not about the boat, not about the family, not about vacationing in Hawaii every year, not about country clubs. It's not about any one of those things. If I truly care as a man, as a father, then I'm willing to say that I will give you what is most important to me. That's God. That is what we should do. We should listen, and we should share. And if they make statements like Lily made to me, she said that this morning, I laugh. I think that's great, because her heart is in the right place. And she's too much like her grandfather, I know that, but it's okay. But we care. Fathers care. If you cannot say that about your own life, then you're failing as a dad. You're failing as a dad in the places that you need to be the most vulnerable, but yet the most confident that God is going to fill that void. So when was the last time that you could hug one of your kids? A phone call. I'm terrible about stuff like that. When was the last time encouragement came? Hey, I'm preaching to me. I mean, I'm preaching to me all of these things right there. I just know this, that the thing that we should be as men of velvet is that first we care. The second aspect I think we ought to do is that I think it's a real quality that every man should have, and that's being considerate. Sometimes we're not considerate. We're just not. We think about ourselves, and we got way too much of that around. But do we think about other needs, what other people really need in their life? Do they need somebody to be right there? Yes, they do. But guys, let me redefine that a little bit for you. Have you ever done something their way? I know we've done it plenty of times our way. And you may say, as I've said many times, that my way is the best way. But have you ever done something because you care so much and you're considerate enough to do it their way? I'm not talking about wrong things. I'm not talking about any one of those kind of things. But have you ever just listened without giving your opinion? That's tough. I mean, it's really tough. I mean, I know that. Do you realize that most of your kids can say they know what you're thinking already, but do you know what they're thinking? I know sometimes that we like to blame and say, well, it's vacillates, society carries us this way, that way, it's upside down, it's all those kind of things. Well, all those things are true. But how are you doing? Listen. And you'll find out how you're doing. See, the grading is not self-grading, as we like to do at times. We give ourselves high marks at times. But it's what does our children say? What are they saying about Dad? Do you give more quality time to your friends than you do to your own family? I hope not. I have a great time with my friends. I enjoy, but I notice this too. If I don't give quality time to my family, then I'm stealing from them. Because I'm giving to somebody that is great, they're wonderful, but they're not my family. Church members, are you more concerned about what somebody else that sits in the congregation thinks about what you're doing more than what your family thinks? One of the great, what I consider to be one of the great pastors that have been in my generation passed away here not long ago. His name was Charles Stanley. Now, you may not know a lot about Charles Stanley, except for you've heard him, you've seen him on TV, you've done it, and you recognize him as a great pastor. That's what I always recognize. Man, I didn't realize the struggle that took place in his life. I didn't realize that he was divorced. I didn't realize that his wife quit coming to church, didn't want to have anything to do with him. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize, even though that there was a great turmoil between his son, Andy, who leads an incredibly big church also, and his dad. But I realized this, that Charles Stanley actually stopped and listened to what his son was saying. And his son listened to what he was saying. And they came to a meeting of who they both were and how much his son loved his dad, even though there was turmoil. Men, do we listen? Even though we have different opinions, even though we did. And of all people, Charles Stanley said, I knew that my son was going to do things differently. And he did. And he does. But is he doing the way God wants us? So fellow church members, are you more concerned about what Dad thinks or what your church members think? Take that one home with you. Be a man of consideration. Be a man that's cooperative. Can you be cooperative with things? I mean, really, think about it. I mean, can you be cooperative? You know, everybody wants to do something. How about, do you ever get voted out? Men, dads, have you ever taken a vote in the family and you didn't get the vote? You know, you didn't get to do what you wanted to? Did you think that was a violation of the principles of being a dad? Well, maybe it's just time that you spend a little time thinking about it. You see, the quality of steel would stand strong, but sometimes being domineering doesn't cut it. Cooperation makes for a great dad, that you're willing to listen. It's called balance. Yeah, it is. It's called balance. You've got the steel part, the authority part. Bless God, I'm dad. I'm doing what I want to do. And then the other side says, bless God, my family wants to do this. Am I big enough to do that? Without damaging my ego. Maybe your ego needs to be damaged. There are times, men, dads, that we need to bend backwards. Yeah. Yeah, I know that's a hard thing, but we need to. But I think every smart man and every smart dad allows himself, now get this, that allows himself to be manipulated for innocent purposes, if you're smart. Now, you can be a bonehead and demand your way and keep doing it, and you'll pay that price later. You'll pay a price that when your kids won't want to talk to you or spend any time with you. God called us to be in submission to Him. And at the same time, if we treat our wives with love and kindness and we serve her, then maybe we won't fall into the habit and the bad thing of subjecting her. And the same is true for our kids. So, be cooperative. Two more. Communicator. That's a tough one, isn't it, guys? To be a communicator. I mean, you know, really. No, men, hey, ladies, you don't have to listen to this one, okay? You can just go to your, whatever. Men to men communicate, okay? We just do. We have a common nomenclature. You know, I don't know how many times, I can't believe you didn't say please. I said, we're on a construction site. We don't say please, we just go do our jobs. You know, I mean, go get that, take care of this. You know, no, that's just what we do. We have a nomenclature that pays off. And we're not always so skilled in the language of relationships. We're working on it. It'll get there eventually, probably when we're dead, but, you know, we're getting there. I had I am saying it, Margaret. I know you told me I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is that cooperative? No, I'm in the pulpit. I can do what I want to do. Okay, no. I had someone say to me, a lady make this statement to me, what can you do to get my husband to listen to me? That was so big. I mean, it was a ball this big. Just knocked that thing out of the park. I just simply said, well, if you'd be quiet for 10 minutes. I'm not going to say any more than that. That's all I'm going to say about that. Gentlemen, we'd do a better job if we talked about it in a kind way, gracious way. Conduct yourself. Now, Chance, you're good at this one, okay? Conduct yourself as a gentleman. You know, some guys are just, I'm sorry, they're just rude. They're barbaric. They're cavemen. I better not see any of that out of some of you guys. Ethan, you're included. No, better not see that. Be a gentleman. I still open the door for other people. I've been told before, I can open the door myself. So I shut it. I lived through the feminist movement. I don't know what you call it today. It's not a feminist movement. They would be happy if they could be a woman today. You can fill in the gap on that one too. Boys, young men, learn to be gentlemen. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But dads, those young men will never learn that unless you teach it by example. Not by what you say, but exactly by what you do. The concepts of womanhood, there are concepts of manhood. Unfortunately, today we've got those well distorted. Men, just be men. See the privilege of being a dad. And I think every woman would be pleased if you could be that. Be the side of velvet that you need to be. You know, it's not easy to hug steel. But it's a whole lot easier if you could just simply be for a while someone that treated people right and you showed that compassionate side of your life. And I think that's part of being a gentleman. And the last one is this. I grew up under John Wayne. Never apologize. It's a sign of weakness. Well, if you always do right, you never have to apologize. But knowing man, knowing some of you, knowing myself, it would be a good thing to learn. And it's okay to cry, okay? Now, don't you start that boo-hoo, bald baby stuff around me, because you're going to hear about it. Because I'm not going to sit around here and listen to you a bunch of whiny men either. But have compassion, have tenderness, and blend that together. Now, I know I've given you a hodgepodge of things today. But I'll finish with these last little things. Behind every successful man, there is a very, very proud wife and a shocked mother-in-law. And guys, if nothing else, learn this one right here. Life does not come with an instruction manual. But that's why we have dads. Let's pray.